right, welcome everyone. It's Mike Jeffers from Chicago Jazz Magazine, and this is Jazz Revealed, the podcast through ChicagoJazz.com, telling you what's happening on the jazz scene. Coming up March 17th, we're really excited to have Danilo Perez. He's here to talk a little bit about his new show called Jazz 100, the music of Dizzy, Ella, Mongo, and Monk. They're going to be at Symphony Center Friday night, March 17th, and it really pays tribute to four artists who, if you can believe it, that first of all, they were all revolutionary jazz artists, and also they were all born in 1917. So we're going to talk to Danilo about the program, about the repertoire, about the musicians that he is bringing into town, which is absolutely an incredible lineup. But first, Danilo, for the two or three people on the podcast that have no idea who you are, let's talk a little bit about your early beginnings. Now, you grew up in Panama. So how did you first become interested in jazz? I mean, is there a lot of jazz happening in Panama?
Well, the very interesting thing, you know, Panama has an unknown great history in jazz, and we had a really great movement that slowly disappeared in the 80s. But when I grew up in the 70s, my father always took me to hear great jazz musicians. My father played me records also. And my father loved Cuban pianists, and some of them, like Peruchin, were influenced by jazz, you know. So my dad, I think, is responsible for the initial connection with the music. And then I had a neighbor where we used to live, where he used to play all those CTI records and Freddie Hubbard, Hop Tones, and he used to play those records really loud. And you couldn't, you know, the first time I heard that sound, it just blew me away, especially Hop Tones by Freddie Hubbard. So it was in the air. You know, I didn't really study. I was just exposed to. And then, you know, I would say that, you know, it came to me that way. And then years later, it made sense. Like nowadays, it makes sense because Panama has a long history with jazz from the beginning. You know, we have had tremendous, influences. You know, people like, for example, people like Louis Russell with Louis Armstrong. Louis Russell was the orchestra, the director of the orchestra that Louis Armstrong became famous with. And then Sonny White, who recorded Strange Fruit with Billie Holiday. And then Billy Cobham, great drummer from Cologne, and Randy Weston, who is part Panamanian, Eric Dolphy. You know, it's with the years I find out why I was surrounded by that music in different forms. It wasn't just jazz, but in different ways, you know, through calypso, to our own interpretation of some Montuno or Cuban music. You know, but I would say that Papo Luca from the Sonora Ponceña, who is a pianist from Puerto Rico, was the first one who knocked me out because the way he mixed the traditional Son Montuno with Oscar Peterson, with Bill Evans in a salsa, song, the way he mixed it up so elegant and so organic, you know, that was really the first time I started transcribing and stuff like that. You know?
So Danilo, it sounds like growing up in Panama, there's music all around you, especially jazz and many different styles. So as a young musician growing up, you probably just took it all in and soaked it all in, and that probably helped you develop the way you sound today, I would imagine, like your style and the entire way you play.
Yeah, there were three, I would say, like three elements. One, that my father was an educator, and he actually experimented with music to teach curriculum to children. For example, he was a singer. He's a singer, still singing nowadays. But you know, he saw the potential in the 60s of music, how music can help concentration, memory, and he used it in his program. So the first connection were through like his style of teaching, you know, like learning mathematics, for example, like 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 2 = 6. He would put rhythm, he put a clave, and so my connection was like that initially. Then he gave me a pair of bongos. Then he started playing me records, and then he passed me to the Conservatory of Music, and he said, you know, if you want to get serious about music, this is where you go. So I can see it now as a steps. You know, there was a very strong motivational period where he was showing me how music really affects all the areas of the development in our life, actually. So then I had the experience. He exposed me to all these great mentors in Panama. And even, you know, I got hired at 12 years old to start playing percussion in a band that he was the singer. So, you know, I just started the connection, started studying classical music. He always talked to me about that rhythm, and that's why he gave me the bongos. He said, rhythm, when the heart stops, you are dead. You know, so he always had these really cool lines and cool mantras that he taught me. And he says, you know, even the animals, they play, you know, look. And, you know, he found opportunities to relate music in every moment of his life that was transferred to me.
You know, it's really interesting to me because you grew up and the way your father was able to relate music to, like, life in general. And then also, you know, everything around you was related back to music when you talk about the bongos and all of the different elements of music. And then you, as an educator, you're a master musician, but then also as an educator. And when you hear about the funding of the arts being cut and they're cutting out of music out of schools, I mean, how important do you think it is for young students, young kids to be exposed to music in a certain way? And, you know, to help it, you know, we don't have to get into the whole political thing, but I mean, to, you know, for a growing person to be involved and exposed to music, it's very important.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, because connected to the project and why I decided to move forward, to engage myself in something as ambitious as trying to celebrate these four artists. Part of the whole emotional aspect of this came from, you know, hearing one time an interviewer asking Dizzy, how do you want to be remembered? And he says, as a great humanitarian. And it blew me away. I thought he was going to say a great trumpet player, a great bebop player. And then he went on to say that music is the opportunity to unite people. And that stuck to me. You know, I tied up that with the lessons from my father. And I realized that, looking at a way to build society in a healthy manner, you can't take away the culture. You can't the cultural development. You cannot take away music, for example, because music, you know, helps and has been proven scientifically that helps with concentration, helps with to learn other subjects like my father provided for me. You know, the interconnective learning, it helps the students to actually, little by little, their memory and their concentration, they can raise that. They can help it if they're unfocused. Nowadays, it's a lot of that. In the sense of brain work, it is crucial. I mean, scientifically, it's been proven. Music therapy is proven that it does affect. It's the only thing that stimulates the brain, the whole brain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That. So in the restoration of social, in the restoration of humanity, is crucial because it provides a great tool, which is to connect us in deeper ways than the normal way. And as far as building values and building behaviors that are nurtured in words like respect, community, accepting differences between, you know, different, I would say different ethnic backgrounds, creating intercultural dialogue. You know, I think music is the greatest tool for diplomacy, for building respect, for building communication. And you see, those things that we are talking right now, that music provides so naturally and organically, are the main issues that we are dealing nowadays that we don't have anymore. And that's why it's not wise to take music away, because you're taking a very concrete possibility to redirect humanity in the right direction. And by taking it away, you actually are killing the one of the only things I know that, you know, that is concrete, that has been proven, that is scientifically proven, that it does help humanity, and especially the good music, the good nurturing music, create values that we need right now. Otherwise, you know, we are in for more trouble in the world, more than what we have. And this is the exact reason why people like D.C. Monk should be celebrated, because in one side, United States has this image in the world, but in another side, you have ambassadors like Dan making people from every part of the world, every culture, to want to come here and learn the music and want to take it to their culture, and they want to take it even farther. They want to connect it, because they discover that the blues and jazz is an opportunity for us to build a new society in the world, a society full of respect and love for each other, man.
Well, and sticking with that point about bringing everything together, you were in Dizzy Gillespie's United Nations Orchestra, and from what I could tell, I mean, everything Dizzy was trying to do with his music is bring everybody together cross-culturally and generationally. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. That was the greatest lesson from Dizzy. First from my father, the interconnected part of the education, learning mathematics, geography, through music. With Dizzy, I really learned that music is a great tool for diplomacy, and also is a great tool for intercultural dialogue, because he put people from Africa, Puerto Rico, Brazil, and he said, "Look, Danilo, this is how the world should behave." You know, I was like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that's one of the greatest, I mean, besides the music, he taught me so much about music about looking at chords in a different way, you know, calling it different names or looking for a different aspect. That musically, I was in heaven, but I also was in heaven for this part that many people don't talk about DC, and that's the way we have built the concept around, and the concept that jazz is a great tool right now to deal with racism, for example. This is a wonderful opportunity to deal with those things in a different way, in a very productive and positive way. And I have dealt throughout the years with this word. You know, the politicians have not caught up to what jazz have been doing, but the collaborations are there, and the proof is on the cake. You know, people like Dizzy Gillespie has done more UN ambassadorship work than many other people that are involved in that, doing it daily.
Now let's talk a little bit about the show that's coming up on March 17th at Symphony Center, Jazz 100, The Music of Dizzy, Ella, Mungo, and Monk. This band that you've put together is, first of all, I mean, it's complete with, it's an all-star band. I mean, you've got Chris Potter, Avashai, Cohen, Wycliffe Gordon, Ben Street, Adam Cruz, Roman Diaz, and Liz Wright, along with yourself. Just, you know, overall, why don't we talk about why you decided on those specific musicians, and also how hard was it to get all of you in the same place, the same time, to not only rehearse, but then also go out and play something like this? I mean, everybody's schedule has to be super busy.
Well, the one element was diversity. You know, a lot of the people and people that I've had association throughout many years that share the common love for some of the artists we're celebrating. And you know Ben and Adam, for example, we come a long way collaborating in the trio situation. I thought it was special to share that part, that organic thing we've been developing of the Latin American aspect of the music with jazz. You know that would be very supportive to this project, especially we want to celebrate mm-hmm. Mongo and Dizzy Gillespie and Monk in that, for that matter. And so that was that. You know, then the element of Roman Diaz, who is from Cuba, that was really, it's like almost like the new take on Chano Pozo, you know, that he has, mm-hmm. which is amazing. Chris Potter, we for many years we've been trying to find a way to play together, and we only recorded with John Patitucci in a record called Imprint. But the person mm-hmm. who actually introduced us indirectly was Red Rodney, you know, when I was with Dizzy Gillespie. And he said, Danilo, man, you got to play with my little young kid. Man, you two guys, young cats, you should do something together. You know, there's symbolism there. Avichai Cohen, I met when he came from Israel and moved to Boston to study at Berkeley. And we developed immediately a connection. And I was really, you know, blown away to hear the things he's doing. And I really wanted to collaborate. He loved the Wayne Shorter Quartet, and we've been nurturing with like a family for a while. We just haven't had a chance to play together, but I was looking forward to that time. And Liz Wright, we have collaborated indirectly and directly in my records and her record, and she's just a soul sister. You know, I always heard something that we do something like this, celebrating one of the icons with her, is a dream come true. And Wycliffe, I actually had a great click with him when we played with Wynton Marsalis. And there is that, you know, for me it's a special moment because that's the he was there when I made the click with Monk. And he was a part of that moment for me. So there's all these little symbolisms of people that have been special or that the universe has been reorganizing the moment so when we get together. Now, as far as logistic, man, I give a lot of kudos to my agent and to putting this together. I mean, it takes a lot of work. It was a year and a half. We have to go through everybody's schedule, dates, and it was that's probably the most challenging part has been to get this schedule together.
Oh, it had to be unbelievable to try to schedule everything. So I understand why it took over a year to put this whole project together. But it sounds like this is going to be really incredible. The band obviously is going to be smoking. And let's talk a little bit about the repertoire too. I mean, you're honoring the legacy and the music of Dizzy, Ella, Mongo, and Monk in this show. And I assume you're going to play some things fairly traditionally, but I think you also have a few different spins on some of the legendary music as well.
Well, one of the things we wanted to do was to tell the story of through the lenses of DC with that great quote about, I want to be remembered as a great humanitarian. That's basically start the night with that feeling, you know, and then we start open. Nowadays, you know, it's an open impromptu with, you know, that I do with Avichai. And it's not, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of bring it into, you know, the arrangement that we have. And basically the first piece, it was, since there's a component of intercultural dialogue very strong in this philosophy and teaching, I wanted to choose something from a period that he either went to Africa or went to South America, and then I found that record he did in South America many years ago, you know, the first State Department tour, and they play a killing version of Jessica's Days by Quincy Jones. So I thought that was a great beginning right there, just because it every time I saw this before he said anything, the one word I remember it came to me, the feeling I came to me was joy, just immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a little kid having fun, man. He's like, wow, I miss seeing this cat, man, wow. You know, so San Wayne too. They have that art. You know, you see them and the cells awakening, and you're alive. You know, So I want that immediate thing, the joy. So then after that, I decided to go in the routing of the collaboration he did with George Russell because of the triangle. He collaborated with George Russell, but he also added that element, the Channel Pulsar element.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Cubana V, Cubana Bop, which is, what a fantastic a combination of elements, intellectual ideas on it with the blues, with the, it's almost like the line of thought that I'm involved right now for me. You know, connecting the folklore of Latin America with jazz and all these contemporary sounds too. You know, it's unbelievable. So that, we go into that little period of that I had a chance to work with Dizzy, which was playing standards and playing rhythm changes. That's such a part of his vocabulary, his tradition, his legacy. So we go into Owl. And there's a Wife Please comes in with his spirit. You know, he understands that part of Dizzy very well, the fun part, the Owl. And Dizzy is used to scream these words and make up words and growling. It's wonderful. And then, yes, it's fun, man. And then after that, we go into the Ella, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the Ella part, it's very interesting. I did a remake of How High the Moon. Very, very, I took a twist from, this message came to me when you listen to Ella version of How High the Moon in Berlin. She goes off at the end in a little coda, and she goes impromptu. But they are like 10 seconds of a Middle Eastern vibe that she had. And knowing what's going on, knowing what the topic of the theme of the show is about, humanity and the whole, I wanted to make that connection, jazz as a tool for human development, I decided to give a twist, an underlying flavor of Middle Eastern. So I kind of worked out of that idea of Ella. Liz Wright and I work on it. And we came out with this unusual, take on How High the Moon, you know, that people's been reacting really favorably. So then after that, I really felt that we needed to go either to Duke Ellington and Ella or to go to the collaborations with the Count Basie. And, you know, and I remember I had a chance to play with Frank Foster, and I remember that Chinese Talking, you know, there's a connection there for me. And I did a remake of China's Talking, and my whole goal is not to change any rhythmic thing from the original, except all the chords are different. So it's really cool, you know, it's really cool sound at the end of the day. When you hear it, you go, wow, it's a remake of that. But it's a very interesting thing that I learned by doing this, which is giving the audience something they can sing along the line in the arrangements, but remake the whole harmonic twist on it. Very, very, very cool. And we try to achieve that Count Basie feel to it, like the fun, the aspect of joy of that arrangement, but with all these contemporary sounds and movements, you know.
I love that. Everything's going to be the same, but you're going to change all the chords.
Yeah, that's right. I just thought that was a huge challenge because, you know, we are creature of habit. And, you know, and people say, you know, jazz rhythmically is so advanced, harmonically is so advanced. And when you take things away and you give the audience something they can relate to, there's still a connection there that is on there, you know, and you start breaking away patterns like, oh, those rhythms goes with this chord. You know, it doesn't necessarily, it's true, that's not true at all. You know, like if you hear pa, put it, da, da, you know, that's satin doll, you know. But what about, can you do satin doll and add some other spices on it? But don't run away, don't hide away from the word. The word is, here I come, or here, how are you today? You know, right? Say, how are you today? But maybe maybe with another, you know, another flavor on it, you know. That's what I was trying to go. Keep the language, but expand on the possibilities of sounds. The other part, the segment of Monk, I go into, you know, I really go into a piano solo, and I kind of do, if I do Round Midnight, I really do Round Midnight in the middle of the night. So it's kind of inspired, and I have a whole little thing in my mind, Monk coming from somewhere else in the galaxy or something. And then we go into off minor, and it's fun. It's, that's when you see the video, that's where we started. Nowadays it's like off minor. I said, let's play off minor, like if we're campaigning for a new, educational proposal right now. Let's campaign for let's protest, you know. And Chris Porter said, yeah, I got it, I see. So it's the way it develops now. It's really to a lot of different shapes, and it goes to almost off minor. It becomes almost the protest song of the night of our repertory, you know. So we let things really hang on the loose completely, you know. So then we come back in a reflectional mode, and I go to a piece, you know, going back to the that humanity side of the program, the connection with Dizzy Gillespie idea of being a great humanitarian, and we explore a piece of you know, Ella Fitzgerald, which she dedicated to Martin Luther King when he died. And it's unusual because nobody ever talk about this piece. It's called "It Is Up to Me and You," and it's so appropriate now. This time right now. It feels great to play that right now.
Yeah.
Then we end with Afro Blue, and the last piece, that we've been playing is a celebration. We wrap it with Dizzy Gillespie. We wrap it with Manteca. And we call it the Matrix because it's different dimensions. You know, somebody's in a certain meter, somebody else is in another meter. Is the 1-1 call or the... No, I will call it like the Mambo of the Galactic Mambo. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's really, really, really... you hear Manteca, but it's almost like 3D Manteca, 3D.
3D Manteca, I love it. 3D Manteca. Well, that's going to be unbelievable. I really appreciate you taking the time today to speak with me for a few minutes here on Jazz Revealed, the podcast. But real fast, last question on the way out. How incredible is it that all four of these artists were born in the year 1917?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's just, see, when I find out about that and I put it together, 2 + 2, it's just the universe, way of self-protecting, and really, it's the universe telling us we need to talk about this. And while you actually celebrate then, also talk about the impact of their artistry into the creation of what we are, what we have become, and what and release it, and maybe there's so many things we left out, and I as I am revisiting then and the emotional aspect, I realized that we have abandoned some of the things they were talking about, and especially the Gillespie joy, you know, intercultural dialogue. Jazz is a way to connect humans and to restore humanity. So for me, it's a message from the universe I don't think it's such a thing as a coincidence. You know, it's really the how the universe is protecting. You know, is helping us to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Yeah, and sometimes we need a little bit more help saving ourselves from ourselves than normal, right? All right, well, I think that's a great way to end the show. Daniello, I really appreciate you being on the show.
All right, brother. Thank you.
And why don't we go out? We're going to take a listen to Off Minor, the famous Thelonious Monk tune. But this is going to be the special twist that you will hear on Friday night, March 17th at Symphony Center. So until next time, thanks for listening to Jazz Revealed, and we will see you somewhere out on the scene.